As the pastor was praying, I was thinking about Mount Calvary.
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted that mountain? Those blood-drenched slopes, that red spot on earth called Mount Calvary, Golgotha's Hill. Have you ever been to Calvary? That's the first mountain you need to want. Because none of this other will matter if you don't get saved. If you're not saved, I hope you'll run to Calvary tonight. That's the most precious mountain. Mount Calvary. But as we look in the passage tonight, I want you to look at some things. So many Christians today, you know, I think are just sort of going through life. And I'm not saying they don't go to church. You know, they attend church perhaps, maybe even every service, but they're just sort of going through life ho-hum, sort of just content with the status quo, you know what I'm saying? Nothing ever happens in their life, and they really don't expect anything to happen. We were in a church this morning, and it had across the pulpit there, expect a miracle. I think that's good. Brother, if you don't expect nothing, you ain't going to get nothing. Because we serve a God who's able to do anything. The Bible says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we ask or think. We serve a great God. But so many Christians, I think, are contented with the status quo. They're sort of going through life, drawing their breath and drawing their salary, and that's just about it. Brother, are you defeated tonight? That's where Satan wants to keep you, by the way. Keep you out there in the wilderness of sin. Keep you defeated. God wants you to have some victory in your life. That's what we're talking about tonight, by the way. Victory. Why so many Christians live in defeated lives anyhow? Well, may I say it's because they have unsurrendered wills. Brother, you'll never find true joy until you give it all to Jesus. Until I was reading a book here lately. I hadn't read it all, but some of you probably like Chick-fil-A. Anybody like Chick-fil-A besides me? I love them Chick-fil-A sandwiches. First Chick-fil-A sandwich I ever had, brother, was at McAllister Square Mall over in Greenville, South Carolina. Way back in the 70s, they had a Chick-fil-A restaurant in that mall. First one I ever knew of. My, that was just as good back then as they are now. And but I was heard about a book that the founder of Chick-fil-A, his name is Truett Cathy. Did I say that right? I get his name mixed up. Truett Cathy is his name. I think he's in his 90s now. But he wrote a book recently called Wealth. Is It Worth It? And boy, that intrigued me because I knew that man had been on both sides of the tracks, Brother Vannoy. He's back there on that old country Georgia road where he had that little first little cafe just serving people a sandwich one at a time. And that was the starting place. Now he owns 15,000 Chick-fil-A restaurants. So he's been on both sides. And I wanted to hear what he had to say. Wealth, is it worth it? And basically, the gist that I'm getting so far as I read through the book is the answer to that question is yes. But only if you give it away. I think that man knows something about what I'm talking about tonight. Brother, are you living in the valley of despair, a valley of depression, a valley of defeat? My goodness, you could be on a mountaintop of victory. And that's what we're going to talk about. Who is Caleb, anyhow? Well, let me call Caleb the Bible's first spiritual mountaineer. He said, I want that mountain. God promised it to me a long time ago. He says, I know He's going to give it to me. Aren't you tired of the status quo? Don't you want something better in your home? Do you? Do you want something better in your church? Do you want something better in your business? God can give it to you if you want it. But I don't believe He's going to back up a whole truckload of blessings and dump it out on your head if you don't even want it. He ain't going to waste His blessings on somebody that don't really care for Him. You got to want it, brother. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Brother, when you get in line with Jesus, it's amazing what can happen. When you get in His will, when you surrender it all to Him, it's amazing what can happen. Who was Caleb? He was one of those 12 spies that Moses selected, one from each tribe to go in the land of Canaan, spy it out, see what was over there. He and Joshua were the only two who came back with a good report. The rest of them, those cowards, those other 10 spies, they said, yes, the land flowing with milk and honey, but there's always plenty of people going to be a billy goat and butt, brother. But, there's giants over there. Oh, yeah. So what? You don't think God can handle a few little old giants? But it's all in perspective. What kind of perspective do you have tonight? Caleb represents you and I, the Christian, who is about to conquer his Canaan, who is about to receive the possessions that God has in store for him. By the way, God has plenty in store for you tonight. If you want it. If you want it. I want to talk to you first tonight about Caleb's character. What kind of character did he have? Well, notice what it says in verse number 8, the last part of verse number 8. He says, but I wholly followed the Lord, my God. I wholly followed the Lord, my God. Look at the last part of verse 9. It says, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. That's two times. Look at verse 14, the last part. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. That's three times, brother, in the same chapter. The Bible says, Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. That means that every inch, I'm talking about every fiber in his being, every nerve, every ounce, every corpuscle in his body had totally been given over to God. My, what could a church full of Calebs do? What could a church, just one Caleb do? My, I want to be like that, don't you? He wholly followed. That's the kind of character he had. Now, I know what some of you are saying. Yeah. Well, God doesn't expect that from me because I'm just a layman. I'm just a layperson. God doesn't expect me to give it all. Oh, yeah. Brother, that's where you're 100% wrong. If you're saved, the Bible says you've been bought with a price. You've been bought with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. You're not your own anymore. You ought to be a bond slave to Jesus Christ. That's what you ought to be. If you've not given Jesus everything, my friend, if you haven't given Jesus everything, you're a disgrace to the name Christian. Caleb had character. His character was that he wholly followed the Lord. Notice the second thing tonight about Caleb. He had confidence in the Lord. Not only did he have character, but I believe his character led to his confidence. Notice what it says in verse 6. Again, I'm going to point out little phrases. The thing that the Lord said unto Moses. Look down at verse 10. The Lord hath kept me alive. As he said. Notice on down in verse 10. The Lord spake this word unto Moses. Look down in verse 12. Whereof the Lord spake in that day. The last part of verse 12. Then I shall be able to drive them out. As the Lord said. Did you get it? The Lord spake this word. The Lord spake unto Moses. As the Lord said. What do you think his confidence was in? Nothing other than the word of the Lord. What is your confidence in tonight? Do you know of anything that you can put your complete, total confidence in without fail in this world that you can hold in your hand, that you can look at with your eyeballs other than this book. I don't know of anything. Brother, you can bank your soul on what's written in the pages of this book. That's what I've done. That's what you've done if you're saved. You've hung your eternal destiny on what this book says. But some of you have gotten in the boat with Jesus for salvation. You've gotten in the wagon with Jesus for salvation. But brother, you hadn't trusted Him for a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more. Sort of like the old man is walking down the road and he's carrying a big old heavy sack on his shoulder. And a gentleman rode by with an old buckboard wagon, horse, buggy, you know, and he rode by the old man carrying the big old sack, big old burden. He stopped by the old man and said, "Man, jump in." He said, "I'll give you a lift." He said, "I sure appreciate that." He got in the old buckboard with the man. They were riding down the road, and this man was just talking, you know, 90 miles a minute. And he happened to look over at the old man. He still had the sack on his shoulder. He said, "My goodness, sir, won't you set down the burden?" And the old man says, "Well, I thought it was enough for you to pick me up and not have to carry this burden too." That's ridiculous, isn't it? But that's what some of you've done. You've got in the wagon with Jesus, but you hadn't trusted Him for a whole lot more than salvation. Brother, that's a whole lot more if you want it. You got to get your want to fixed. What do you want in this world? Anything besides Jesus is not going to last. Caleb had a mountain to conquer. Brother, his battle axe was the Word of God. I believe as he climbed up Hebron's mountain, he had a sword in one hand. He had a title deed in his back pocket. He knew that God was going to give him that mountain. He said, "I'm going to have it because God promised it to me way back there 45 years ago when I was a 40-year-old man. And I'm going to have it by God's grace." The Lord had already... The Bible says in Hebrews, the Bible says, "The Lord has said so that we may boldly say." When God says something in His Word, brother, you can run with it. You can go with it. You can boldly repeat it because God said it. God said it. We need to put our confidence in God, not in what man says. My confidence is not in Washington, D.C. tonight. I hope yours isn't. Well, they'll disappoint you. I've got where I don't even listen hardly to the news anymore. I'm just so sick of it. But brother, you can put your confidence in the Word of God. You can put your confidence in what the Lord has said. Not only did he have character, not only did he have confidence, but I believe those two things led to the final point tonight. It led to Caleb's courage. My, how we need Christians with courage tonight to take a stand. And having done all, to stand, as the Bible says in Ephesians. Brother, rich Hebron, rich Canaan, was it worth it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was worth it. Oh, yeah, it was worth it. A land flowing with milk and honey. That song, little song we sang a while ago, "Where the grapes of Eskel grow." That word Eskel means brook. It was the name of a... No, it doesn't mean brook. It was a brook down there. Eskel Brook was flowing down there. But the word Eskel itself means cluster. Did you know that those Hebrews went over there and they cut one cluster of grapes off of one of those vines? I'm telling you, just one cluster of grapes. It took two of them with a pole like this to carry one cluster of grapes. Is that rich or not? You ever seen the grape vine produce a cluster like that? No, not in all your born days. That's how rich the land was. A land flowing... figs and pomegranates, milk and honey, corn and wine, everything that the children of Israel could ever hope for was over there. But there were some giants. There were some adversaries over there. Someone has said the door of opportunity swings on the hinge of opposition. God has planned it that way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:9, he said basically this very fact, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Anything worth having is worth fighting for. You ever heard that saying? But sometimes you're going to have to fight to get what you want. I'm not talking about fish. I'm talking about a spiritual warfare. You're going to have to fight the devil. You're going to have to fight the flesh. You're going to have to fight this world to have the best that God has for you. Caleb was that kind of man. Yeah, there were giants over there. But before we talk about the giants, I want to talk to you about something else first. I want to talk to you about grasshoppers. Turn in your Bibles to Numbers. Hold your place in Joshua and turn to Numbers. I want to show you something. In Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Look at verse 33. The last verse of the chapter. Numbers 13, verse 33. "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as," what does the Bible say? "Grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." Now, every church, I think, has a little bit or a whole lot of this problem. It's what I call the grasshopper complex. There's always, invariably, brother, I think, in just about every church, some grasshoppers sitting out there who say, "Well, Pastor, it can't be done." Or maybe they're a little bit more spiritual than that and say, "Well, Pastor, I have prayed about this." And by the way, sometimes prayer is used as an excuse. "Let me pray about it." You ever heard that, preacher? All they're telling you is no. "Let me pray about it." No, no, just go ahead and say no. That's what you really mean. But anyhow, some of them a little more spiritual, they say, "Well, I prayed about it, and Pastor, I really don't think it should be done." And then there's usually one, at least, that'll say, "Pastor," real stern-like, "if I have anything to do with it, it won't be done." That's called a grasshopper complex. No faith, no vision. They don't want to follow nobody with no faith and no vision. People who are contented to sit back in their wilderness wasteland, they think they're safe out there. You know why? There's no giants out there. But there's no grapes out there either. No blessings out there. What do you want? You want to stay in the wilderness just because there's no giants? Or you want to go for the gold? Where the grapes of Eshcol grow. It's up to you. It's up to you. Now, not only did they have grasshoppers, or grasshopper complex, but there were giants, the sons of Anak, the Anakims. Now, that's not headache medicine, Anakims. That's the sons of Anak. They were big guys, no doubt. Probably like Goliath and his brothers. But do you believe that bothered Caleb? I don't believe it bothered him one ounce. In fact, I believe when Caleb saw those giants down there, he got a little bit excited. Look, somebody came to Caleb and they said, "My, those giants are too big to hit." No, Caleb said, "What are you talking about, too big to hit? Man, they're too big to miss." It's all a matter of perspective, man. Well, look what a target they present to us. If you're still in Numbers there, flip over one more chapter. Chapter 14. I want to show you the good report given by Joshua and Caleb. They don't even discuss the giants. Look what they say in Numbers chapter 14, beginning in verse number 8. "If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey." Look at verse 9. "Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us." Isn't that interesting? What's he saying? He's saying we can take them. If God be with us, who can be? God be for us, who can be against us? That's what he's saying. They're bread for us. We can devour them. We can eat them up. Did your mom ever make you eat your spinach when you was growing up? I like spinach, so it didn't bother me. But anybody not like spinach? Pastor, a few more. And your mama made you eat your spinach. She said, son, you need to eat your spinach. I don't like spinach, mama. Well, eat your spinach is good for you. It's got vitamins. It's got a lot of nutrition. You need to eat your spinach. Well, I don't like spinach. Eat it anyhow. It's good for you. That's what Caleb was saying. Eat you some giants today. They're the breakfast of champions, you know. Let's go take some giants. We can take them with God's help. Let me say this. If you don't get anything out of the message tonight other than this one statement, I want you to get this. The difficulties that God sends your way are the very things He'll use to make you strong. You going through some hard times? The Bible says God hasn't left you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's using these things in our lives, both the good and the bad, to make us strong for Him. The Bible says in Isaiah, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. The pessimist always sees difficulty in every opportunity. But what does the optimist see? The optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty. My, Caleb had a character. He wholly followed the Lord. That led to his confidence. His confidence was in the Word of the Lord. And that led to his courage, not only to overcome grasshoppers and giants, brother, but also to overcome his own gray hair. Some of you are getting a little gray. I'm getting a little gray. What's not turning gray is turning loose. I hope it all turns gray and not turn loose. But we're not as young as we used to be, are we? You think you ought to just sit on the sideline? Let the younger people have it. Oh, I've carried the burden for long enough, brothers. It's time for the young folks to take it. I'll just sit back and recline and let the young folks carry it now. You think that's the way our older Christians should be? Brother, you need to be the leader like you never have been the leader before, because we need you. This younger generation don't know anything about it much. How are they going to know about it if you don't tell them, if you don't set the example? They're looking to you. Don't quit. Don't sit on the sideline as a spectator. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on God. If you're 99, don't quit on God. Nothing else, be a prayer warrior. Don't quit on God. I don't believe Caleb ever quit the fight. Even though he was getting older, he's 85 when he said this, I want that mountain. I'm going to have it. We'll go back to Joshua. Let's finish up with this, what he said there in Joshua chapter 14. Look what he says. Verse number 10 and 11. He says, Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. How old is that? 85 years old. Verse 11 says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He said, I'm just as willing and as strong to pick up a sword and fight as I was when I was 40 years old. In other words, he's saying, I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40 years old. God had supernaturally preserved Caleb. Why, if God could supernaturally preserve their shoes, make that leather or whatever it may last for 40 years, don't you believe God could preserve a man? That's what God did. He preserved Caleb for this very hour. That tells me that when God makes you a promise, brother, He gives you the ability to claim it. The God that preserved the possession for the man, preserved the man for the possession. I know you've heard missionaries and pastors and preachers say it for years. Maybe you're sick and tired of hearing it, but it's, brother, it's true. Where God guides, He provides. It's true. It's true. You know it's true. That's an inside joke. It is true. It's true. Even if He has to make you a teenager at age 85, He'll do it. He'll do it. I'll close with this story. Maybe this will help some of you. We've worked out in the West when our ministry started almost 14 years ago. We'll begin our 14th year starting January, full-time ministry for the Lord, our family, working out all over the country. Mostly out West we've done ministry and helped churches and pastors and church planters and missionaries, and been doing that for the last 13 years. And we come across a group of people there, just a small group of ladies in Moorcroft, Wyoming, at the Prairie View Baptist Church. And that church had been there for 40, 50 years, and they had dwindled down in that little town of Moorcroft, population 807, I believe it was when we got there. And it had dwindled down to just three elderly widow ladies. Most of them were in their 80s. They and their husbands had founded the church when it started years ago. Their husbands had died off, and the church had dwindled down. They'd have several pastors, and the last one that they had had left. It's a tough town, tough western town to work in. And we got there about the time they was getting ready to shut the doors forever. Getting ready to padlock the doors forever. And that's happening all across America, by the way. We need more churches started for the Lord, not closing up. And in fact, they had closed up one Sunday because they couldn't get a preacher. Just three ladies there, couldn't get a preacher. And they was getting ready to turn off the gas and the power and shut her down forever. We happened to another pastor there nearby. He said, "Let's get together. Let's help these ladies. Let's try to keep the doors of this church open." He says, "We'll tag team." He says, "You preach one Sunday, I'll preach the next Sunday. You got to go here and there and yonder. You got to schedule. And I got my own church, but we'll try to keep this thing together and keep it going and see what happens." So that's what we did, Pastor. When I was there, we would preach. When he was able to, he would preach, and we'd have a Sunday morning service. We kept the doors open, kept the power on, kept the lights on, kept the gas on. People started coming back. We ended up with 20, 30, 40 folks at some services. People shows up when something's happening. But anyway, Miss Leo was one of those old ladies. Anybody remember World War II history and the Enola Gay B-29 bomber? Anybody know about that? Dropped the first atomic bomb. Well, Miss Leal's husband was the co-pilot of that plane. Tough Western lady. I mean tough, brother. She was an inspiration to me. She was about 84 years old when we first got there. And when she'd come to church, and she never failed. She was there every service. If anybody had an excuse to stay home, Miss Leal did. Because she was carrying her oxygen bottle every time she come to church. She had a bad back. She had the worst kind of sugar diabetes, you know, the shots every day. She had to watch what she ate and all. She knew how to manage it, though. She had congestive heart failure, Parkinson's disease, She had all that stuff wrong with her, and yet she was in the church every time the doors was open. She could have stayed at home. Nobody would have thought anything about it with all of her infirmaries, difficulties. But she finally broke her hip. We helped the church over many years, and after she was about 86, 87, she fell and broke her hip. The Lord never did break her lip, did he? She could talk too. But anyway, she broke her hip. And I said, well, that's the end of Miss Leah. I said, with all her health problems, she'll never come back. That was my lack of faith. Don't never rule the Lord out. I said, she'll probably never get back from that, you know, broken hip at her age. We went to the hospital to see her. She said, well, the doc came in. He told me the deal. She says, he only gives me 30% chance of waking up from the surgery. He says, but I'm going to let him go for it. I'm going to let him fix me up. And she says, if I don't wake up, I know I'll be in the arms of Jesus. And she says, but if I do wake up, I'll know the Lord has at least one more job for me to do. And you know what? She woke up. And the Lord gave her 3 or 4 more good years. Isn't that a blessing? Do you want it? Do you want God's best? You got to want it. Caleb said, I want that mountain. God promised it to me, and I'm going to have it by His grace. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that You take these simple thoughts to our hearts. Lord, we need to want Your best. We ought not be satisfied with the wilderness wasteland when there's so many blessings that we could obtain, that You have laid up in store for those who love You and want to follow You and serve You on a daily basis. Give us people that want the best God has. We pray it all in Jesus' name.